Between 2025 and 2030, the pharmaceutical industry is facing a patent cliff that puts an estimated $300 billion in branded drug revenue at risk.
That single fact is triggering a tidal wave of investment, M&A, and technological innovation. The race is on to build the next generation of therapies, and the battlefield is the factory floor.
Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly strategic briefing. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a fundamental transformation in biomanufacturing. The pressure from that patent cliff is forcing companies to get more efficient and develop more complex drugs faster. We'll be looking at the technology enabling this shift, from the bioreactors themselves to the AI that runs them.
We'll cover the battle between single-use and reusable systems, the regulatory changes accelerating cell therapies, and how AI-driven automation is creating the autonomous labs of the future. We'll also look at how this same technology is poised to completely disrupt the food industry. This is about building resilient, competitive supply chains for the decade ahead.
Let's start with the foundational hardware, Joy. Thermo Fisher just unveiled a new DynaDrive 5L single-use bioreactor designed for seamless scale-up. For the executives listening, what exactly is a single-use bioreactor, and why is it a big deal?
Think of it as a highly advanced, sterile, disposable bag inside a supportive piece of hardware. Instead of a permanent stainless steel vessel that needs intensive cleaning and sterilization between batches, you just replace the bag. This dramatically cuts turnaround time, reduces capital costs, and minimizes contamination risk.
So it's about speed and flexibility.
Precisely. This is critical for the industry shift towards continuous biomanufacturing, where production runs for extended periods. Thermo Fisher's platform directly supports this. We're seeing massive investments based on this technology. For instance, AGC Biologics' new facility in Yokohama, Japan, set to open in 2027, is being equipped with 2000L and 5000L single-use bioreactors from Cytiva and Thermo Fisher.
But is the whole industry going disposable? I'm also seeing reports that the market for reusable stainless steel bioreactors is surging. That seems contradictory.
It's the most important strategic question in biomanufacturing today. Reusable bioreactors are more economical for very large volume commercial production of established biologics, like monoclonal antibodies. This has led to the rise of the hybrid facility.
What does that hybrid model mean for a US or European manufacturer?
It means using single-use systems for process development and clinical trials, where speed and flexibility are paramount. Then, for post-approval commercial production, they transition to cost-effective reusable systems. This optimizes the entire product lifecycle. Contract manufacturers, or CDMOs, are aggressively adopting this hybrid approach to serve diverse clients.
So what's the actionable insight here?
Executives must map their product pipeline against this hybrid model, assess which products benefit from single-use speed and which require reusable scale. Making the right capital expenditure decisions now will determine your cost of goods and competitiveness for the next 5 years.
Let's move from the hardware to the products themselves. The pipeline for advanced cell therapy seems to be exploding. GC Therapeutics just raised $65 million for its iPSC-based drug development. What are iPSCs, and why is the money flowing in?
iPSCs are induced pluripotent stem cells. Essentially, they are adult cells reprogrammed to an embryonic-like state, from which they can be turned into any type of cell. This is the key to creating off-the-shelf allogeneic therapies, where cells from a single donor can treat many patients. It's a massive leap from autologous therapies that require manufacturing a unique batch for every single patient.
But manufacturing these complex therapies is notoriously difficult. We've seen CDMOs like Amplify Bio and ExoThera close recently, and even Thermo Fisher cut hundreds of jobs in its viral vector unit. It sounds like a bottleneck.
It is the bottleneck. The science has outpaced the manufacturing technology, leading to overcapacity in some areas and intense consolidation. However, regulators are stepping in to help. On May 5th, the US FDA issued new guidance that effectively ends the rule of three, the old requirement to produce three identical commercial scale batches for validation.
How significant is that change for a company developing a new therapy?
It's a game changer, especially for therapies targeting rare diseases with small patient populations. It can shave a year or more off the development timeline and save tens of millions of dollars. It fundamentally de-risks the path to commercialization.
How does this turbulence affect US and European manufacturers?
For large CDMOs like Catalent, which is building an iPSC center of excellence, it's an opportunity to consolidate the market. For smaller biotech firms, the FDA's flexibility is a gift, but the shrinking CDMO landscape means they must secure a manufacturing partner earlier than ever.
What should trading companies and distributors be focused on?
The entire end-to-end supply chain. It's not just about bioreactors anymore. It's about cryopreservation media, biostorage, and temperature-controlled logistics. That's precisely why Repligen just acquired BioLife Solutions for approximately $1.5 billion. They are buying the critical infrastructure that surrounds the manufacturing process. The actionable insight is clear. If you are in cell therapy development, your team must immediately reevaluate your chemistry, manufacturing, and controls, or CMC strategy, in light of the new FDA guidance. It has direct and positive implications for your budget and timeline to market.
Let's talk about the software and intelligence layer on top of all this. We're hearing a lot about AI and automation in the lab. How is this actually being applied?
It's moving beyond simple process control into predictive design and full autonomy. The U.S. Department of Energy's Genesis mission, for example, has selected EXOzymes to build AI-powered digital twins for cell-free biomanufacturing.
A digital twin is essentially a highly complex simulation of the real-world process, correct?
Exactly. It combines enzyme kinetics, reactor physics, and machine learning to predict and optimize outcomes before you ever use a physical drop of material. Argonne National Lab's OPAL platform takes it a step further, integrating AI-driven protein design with humanoid robotics to create a fully autonomous design, build, test, learn loop.
That sounds like the distant future. What are manufacturers in the US and Europe buying and installing today?
The autonomous lab is being built piece by piece. Fujifilm Biosciences just launched the Osseo Rover, the first automated system for hydrating powdered cell culture media and buffers on demand. This solves a major labor-intensive bottleneck. Similarly, Esko Aster's new cell shaker automates cell harvesting. And Germany's Sartorius is integrating AI directly into its Amber 250 high-throughput microbioreactor systems to accelerate process development.
So for Western manufacturers, this is about operational efficiency.
It's about efficiency, quality, and speed. Automating these steps removes human variability, which increases batch consistency and yield. This is critical for GMP compliance. European firms like Sartorius are at the forefront, and U.S. companies must invest in these automation platforms to remain competitive.
And for distributors, the sale has changed.
It has. You are no longer just selling a piece of equipment. You are selling a connected, data-generating ecosystem. The value is in the integration and the data analytics services you can provide alongside the hardware. The actionable insight for executives is to initiate a 90-day audit of their upstream and downstream workflows. Identify the most time-consuming manual bottlenecks, like media prep, and invest in targeted automation. The return on investment is often less than a year.
Troy, you focused on biopharmaceuticals, but I saw several articles indicating this technology is spilling over into other industries. Tell us about precision fermentation.
It's the same core technology, using microorganisms in a bioreactor to produce specific molecules. But the target isn't a drug, it's a food ingredient. The impact will be revolutionary. At a recent conference, Mycotechnology unveiled a sweet protein derived from a honey truffle that is 2,000 times sweeter than sugar.
So this is about creating novel ingredients. What about replacing existing ones?
That's where the disruption lies. Companies like Algi and Vivisi are now using precision fermentation to produce lactoferrin. This is a high-value protein found in milk that's a key ingredient in infant formula. Historically, supply has been tight and prices volatile. Now, Algi has partnered with a Chinese CDMO to produce it at a multi-ton annual scale, completely animal-free.
So, for U.S. and European food manufacturers, what is the strategic implication?
This is a direct threat to traditional dairy and animal protein supply chains and a massive opportunity for food innovators. It offers stable supply, consistent quality, and a powerful sustainability story. Look at the partnership between agriculture giant ADM and the Every Company to scale production of precision fermented egg protein. This is going mainstream.
What should trading companies and distributors be watching?
This is an entirely new high-growth vertical. They need to build relationships with these new producers and understand the emerging regulatory landscape. The US, UK, Australia, and New Zealand are all developing frameworks for these novel foods. The starting gun for this market has just been fired.
The actionable insight for executives in the food and beverage industry. Establish a dedicated team to scout and pilot partnerships with precision fermentation startups. The window to secure access to these novel ingredients before they are locked up by major players is closing.
All right, Troy, it's been a dense week. Let's distill it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, the future of biomanufacturing is hybrid. Your strategy must blend the speed of single-use systems for development with the scale and cost efficiency of reusables for commercial production. A one-size-fits-all approach is no longer viable. Second, the cell therapy manufacturing bottleneck is creating a market of haves and have-nots. The new flexible FDA guidance will accelerate approvals, but CDMO consolidation means capacity will be scarce. Secure your manufacturing partnerships now, because weaker suppliers are disappearing.
And third, automation and AI are the new table stakes for competition. From digital twins that predict outcomes to robotics that prepare media, these tools are the primary drivers of efficiency and quality. U.S. and European firms must invest aggressively to lead in the global bioeconomy, which now clearly includes not just medicine, but food, materials, and beyond.
Troy, as always, thank you for the sharp analysis.
A pleasure, Susie.
That's all the time we have on this week's Troy Technical Intelligence. To make sure you get your weekly strategic briefing, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Join us next time as we continue to analyze the technology developments shaping global industry.